Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY24 earnings conference call of Moneybox Finance Limited, hosted by Arihant Capital. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshit Jain from Arihant Capital. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Jain.
Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, and a very, very warm welcome to everyone to the Q4 Financial Year 2024 earnings conference call of Moneybox Finance Limited. Today, from the management, we have Deepak Agarwal, sir, CFO; Mr. Mayur Modi, sir, COO; and Mr. Viral Sheth, sir, the financial controller of the company. So, without any further delay, I'll hand over the call to Deepak, sir, for his opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Harshit. Good afternoon and warm welcome to everyone. We have Mayur Modi, Co-CEO, and Viral Sheth, Finance Controller of Moneybox Finance Limited here. Before we start the Q4 discussion, we would like to thank our investors who have been of continuous support throughout our journey. This is the first year of our full-year profitability, and we are really satisfied of the outcomes despite all the challenges in the last 5 years. Our strong financial performance in FY24 reflects our commitment to growth, efficiency, and value creation for our stakeholders. Getting on to Q4 and FY24 performance, AUM of the company increased 112% year-on-year to 730 crores, including managed book, up from 344 crores in FY23, and it grew 36% sequentially from 536 crores. We are again aiming to double the AUM in the current financial year. Number of branches increased 64% year-on-year to 100, up from 61 last year, and 16% sequentially, up from 86. In financial year 2024, we expanded our presence to 8 states, with entry into Bihar in Q2 and Gujarat in Q3. We are only doing secured business in these two states, and these states are now coming up very well. This expansion is considerably improving geographic diversification of the portfolio. For financial year 2025, we aim to expand our presence to 11 states by adding 3 new states from southern India. Further, we plan to add 60-75 new branches in existing and new states this year. Disbursements were up 95% year-on-year to 665 crore in FY24 versus 341 crore in FY23. Disbursements were up 87% in Q4 2024 to 290 crore versus 155 crore last year. Importantly, we crossed 1,200 crore cumulative disbursement in Q4 2024, and then as of March 31st, we had a cumulative disbursement of 1,200 crore. Interestingly, share of secured business increased very significantly, which grew from 5% of AUM as of March 2023 to 24% as of March 2024. We will continue to increase the share of secured loans to over 40% by the end of financial year 2025. While the total income grew strongly by 154% to 128 crore in FY24 compared to 50 crore, in line with strong growth in business and AUM, operating expenses grew only by 91% to 67.5%. This resulted in the company posting profit after tax of 9.1 crore in this financial year compared to net loss of 6.8 crore in FY23. We achieved an ROE of 10.1% in Q4 and 8.1% in complete financial year. Profitability is expected to further improve, driven by declining cost of borrowing and benefit of operating leverage with growing scale of operations. OPEX has actually declined by almost half in the last 3 years, from 24% to then 20%, 15%, and this year it stood at 12.7%. Excluding ESOP charge, OPEX stood at 12.4%. We still expect this over a medium term to come into single digit number despite the expansion in branches. The company has strong unit economics and interest rate improved by 200 basis point to 15.9% this financial year compared to 13.9% in FY23. This is supported by average increase in average loan yield and declining cost of borrowing. FY24 average borrowing cost was still higher at 14.6% because of earlier higher rate borrowing, while in H2 incremental borrowing rates stood at 13%. We expect at least 100 basis point reduction in incremental cost of borrowing this year, driven by rating upgrade and increase in scale. Debt to equity improved to 2.63% from 3.12%, largely because of high equity raise. Liquidity levels remain adequate at 106 crores as on March end, and company has another 35 crore per month of partnership on-time funding available through co-lending partnerships and business correspondent. Asset quality. While asset quality was impacted during the year as agricultural-driven rural economy was affected by high and erratic rains in operating states of Punjab, Haryana, Rajasthan and UP, Moneybox has relatively strong asset quality with one of the lowest NPAs in the segment owing to its focus on essential sectors and robust underwriting practices. Gross NPA stood at 1.4% versus 1.51% as on December, and NPA stood at 1.04% versus 0.94% as on December. Historically, the company credit cost was less than 3% amidst even the extreme situation of COVID. Unlike stress conditions in the past, the recent deterioration is expected to normalize, which we are seeing on the ground. And we believe that asset quality will remain strong, especially driven by secured increasing focus on secured lending, which is, as we said, 24% versus 5% last year. Credit cost stood at 1.34% in FY24 versus 1.48% in FY23. On the debt side, we now have 32 institutional lenders, and we are seeing a lot of new banks and, you know, impact funds to come along this year. On equity front, we raised 85 crore, which is the largest equity raise since inception. Out of this, almost 10 crores came up from promoters and 4.92 crores coming in March itself. Now we soon plan to raise another 150 crores in H1 25 to fund our FY25 extension plan, and process for the same is initiated. We thank you all again for the continued support and trust in our company. We look forward to your questions.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now be in the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may please press star and one to ask questions. The first question is from the line of Pinkesh Takrani from ProfitK. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah. Basically, I was looking at your presentation where there was a lot of talks about the key ratios in the form of the interest spread, the average lending IRR, and the borrowing IRR. So basically, this is the same thing that we see in banks, like net interest margin. Can you throw more light about it, like? How you are planning to sustain this margins over coming time? Because to sustain this kind of margin, you have to lend at a very high rate of interest, and the NPAs would be greater in that case.
Okay, sorry, can I get the name again?
Pinkesh Takrani. Pinkesh Takrani, okay. From Profit.
Thanks. Thanks, Pinkesh. I think one thing you have to see is our lending rates, I mean, are in line with the market. So the kind of segment we are in, which is, you know, 1 to 10 lakh, and, you know, largely where our average ticket size for unsecured loan is 1.6 lakh and for secure loan is 3.5 lakhs. Our lending rates are very much in line with the market, and this is very much sustainable because that's the trend, you know, for decades now. So we don't see a significant, you know, decline on this side. Yes, as secured loans increase, the IRR will come down with, you know, few percentage points. But at the same time, you can see that, you know, our average borrowing rate is quite high. If you see the larger players, largely people borrow at around 10% or single digit rate. So there is very, very significant scope to reduce the lending rate. And as we said that in H2 only, we have declined it by almost 200 basis points. So we have borrowed in H2 at around 13%, which we continue that, you know, that in first 6 months, our borrowing rate should decline by almost 100 basis points. And overall, we see a good decline in, so definitely the speed at which the borrowing rate will decline, I think it will be lesser than the at which the spread rate declines, the yield rate declines. So we are very, very sure that, you know, these are manageable numbers. And even if you see that, you know, at peers level, people with even a 10,000 crore book, you know, are able to sustain this kind of interest rates. Because you have to realize that, you know, this is a business with relatively higher OPEX. So these margins are very much sustainable, and market is very used to, you know, in terms of these kind of rates.
Okay. Just one more question from my side. Since you are portraying or giving a guidance of around 2.7 times and or 3.5 times in AUM and 2.7 times in the profits, like for such an expansion, like you need more of a capital, more of the, you know, expenditure on the operating side as well. So in coming time, do you see like the industry would be like the microfinance and all these things would be in line with your expectations? Like as we can see, like it's a new re-rating may be there in coming time for the microfinance institutions. So what is your expectations on the industry outlook, like overall, like at your level? Like you would be growing much faster as per your guidance given in the presentation.
So Pinkesh, one thing is that, you know, one is we are not a microfinance institution. We are into individual loan segment. And I think if the reference is towards the ability to raise capital, I think we have over the last 5 years, despite very significant external challenges, we have got very strong support, whether it is in terms of debt or whether it is in terms of equity. Even at a small scale, we have 10, you know, banks, scheduled banks in our portfolio. So one is that all the data points say that the growth in India, especially for the individual loan segment, which is missing middle, is very, very high. The credit gap is very, very high. So one, we don't see any challenges in terms of demand and neither in terms of raising the equity. So that's one part. And as we said that we are not typically a microfinance institution. So the secondly that, you know, when you speak about the percentage growth, you also have to see that our base is quite small today. I mean, even at 730 crores, our base is quite low. So doubling up AUM from these levels or even for, you know, next couple of years is not a Herculean task. Execution is required for, of course, but then it is a doable. And, you know, there are players who have these kind of track records. And, you know, in the last 5 years, we have really shown that, you know, we have been able to grow in a sustainable manner.
Okay. Thank you. That's all for my time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Mihir Shah from Riddhi Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question was that we were targeting 15% ROE in the March quarter, and like I understand that you know
we got 10.1% ROE.
Right, correct. So we were targeting 15%, and I understand that like a few things can be here and there in business projections. That should be fine. But just wanted to understand that like what were the things that didn't work out as per projections, and like what are our to do reach to this milestone.
Okay, so I think the cost of borrowing has been a deterrent. You know, overall, if you see in the, as we explained in the last quarter presentation as well, that the market was challenging this year, especially because of erratic rains. We really felt that credit costs to be increasing, the DPD levels to be increasing a bit. So we had to slow down, and with RBI guidelines, and you know the rate increase have happened. So if you see that, you know, the kind of the MCLR rates have gone up for across the board very significantly, so which impacted our borrowing rate and which had a ripple impact on that. But still, I would say at current level of performance, at current AUM level versus negative ROE last year, we almost have seen about a 20% jump here, you know, close to 18% jump in the profitability. So, you know, given the challenging environment, I believe that that's a good stead which we have got.
Got it. And is there any timeline that we are targeting to achieve the 15% mark?
So yes, our target is to achieve in next 2 years. So we have been now a bit conservative on numbers. Depending on how the market is performing, we still want that rates to come down a bit to reach to that number. But yes, by FY26, we are targeting a 15% kind of ROE.
Got it. And
it could happen earlier. It could be surprised.
Got it. And we have been doing some investor. Hello?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, please. Hello, am I audible?
You are audible, yes, Mihir.
Yeah, we have been doing some calls lately. So, like, do we have any soft commitments on the fundraise that we are planning? And, like, if there's more clarity on the timeline that we are looking for the fundraise?
We are looking to close, on a very conservative basis. We are looking to close the deal in H1 of this year.
Deepak sir, I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Your audio is not clear now.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Is it better now?
This is better, sir. Please continue. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. So what I was saying is that conservatively, we will be able to close the round in first half of this year, maybe by July on an aggressive basis. Yes, for sure, we have these sub-commitments.
Got it.
And it is of a decent size.
Okay. That's good. Some of the branches now are only doing secured loans. So, like, what is the strategy behind this? Because, like, given that our unsecured business was also profitable, so why are we not continuing that as branches?
So I think as this is a pivot which happens with every business. As business grows, initially, one is that initially we could not have started secured loans because the yield is lower in secured loans, and initially the cost of borrowing is high. And also the tenor of loan, so when we got the funding from SBI, which was at a cheaper rate plus for 4 years, we started focusing more and more on secured loans. So one is that, you know, secure. So both businesses are fine. We don't say anything is wrong. But as we grow, there is an opportunity to grow average ticket size with secured loans. And because it stays over a longer period of time, say 5 to 6 years, the OPEX automatically reduces. So the way it works that, you know, you can, with secured loans, your borrowing rate decreases, your operating cost also decreases because it's a higher tenor loan with similar OPEX. So then, and it is obviously, if you have a 2.5% credit cost in unsecured, with secured, you will have almost a 1.5%. So there is a saving in the credit cost as well. So that way, it makes sense to have secured business.
Got it, sir. Thank you for your patient answers. I'll get back in the queue for more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sahil Sharma from Columbus Finvest. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, for a good performance. Sir, what I was wondering about is, if you look at our operating expenses, like you said, this OPEX is at roughly 12 to 13% right now, and it is coming down over time. Sir, when I look at the ramp up for others, for example, Five Star also gives out their historical numbers. Like basically, if I compare like to like for like when they were of our size, it has always been in single digits, sir. So it's something which is, and like you said, the growth journey is very similar for us also and for others also in the industry. So it is a bit perplexing and like not able to understand why the OPEX is higher for us as a percentage of AUM versus, let's say, you know, how Five Star scaled up.
Okay, so I tell you, if you compare it with, so if you take multiple examples, one, the biggest difference is one is that, you know, Five Star is a, you know, almost a 40-year-old company. Even when you see the growth, it has been with the secured business. So as I said that, you know, when you do, so if you compare Five Star, they are at around 6.7% versus Veritas, they are around, you know, 8% plus, and there is I, which at, you know, around 11-12%. Because it's an unsecured business. So what we need to understand that, you know, trajectory for every company will be different, and also it depends on the project, product. So if we make it a 100% secured product, the OPEX will be, you know, relatively lower. But, you know, so how we see it that, you know, if you are doing 100% secured, maybe you will stay around anywhere between 7-8%. If you are doing just unsecured, maybe you are at around 11-12%. And, you know, if with a mix, you can be around single digit, which is definitely possible. We feel that 8-9% is achievable, maybe if we do a mix of it. And if we move fully towards secured, maybe, you know, in somewhere around 7-8% range. So that is possible. Five Star, yes, it's an exception, but also driven by the very, very high vintage of the company. So, I mean, you know, with, you know, 40 years of experience, there are some benefits which come into it. But, you know, if you compare, you know, on a like-to-like basis now in terms of productivity per employee, we are doing a good job.
Got it, sir. So basically, as the mix of secured increases in our AUM, we can expect the OPEX to come down with that.
100% for sure. And that is it. And I'm not even in the forecast. You see, it's continuously with the rising scale. Because, you know, when you're targeting a very high growth company, everything in your operations, whether it investments on tech, whether it is investment on compliance, or any operations of your business, you have a fixed cost, you know, at a certain level, even, you know, even at a 300 crore AUM level. But they don't increase, you know, in tandem with AUM increase. So every year, you know, you will have some benefit around it in terms of declining OPEX. Plus, yes, at a branch level, when you have more and more secured loan, your OPEX declines significantly.
Makes sense, sir. So just a comment on the presentation, sir. If possible, it would be very helpful to have some 30-day, 60-day DPD numbers also, sir. Because it gives a sort of a pipeline for like how the non-paying or like potentially non-paying assets are sort of evolving over time.
Perfect. We have taken a note of it. So from next time, we will ensure.
That's all. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manhar Rao, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, good evening. So hi, if I see your, you know, FY26 guidance right now of 2,500 crore and number of branches, and if I compare it to the previous one, you know, I think somewhere we have increased the number of branch requirement by, I think, 15 or 20 years. So is it that we need more amount of branches for same amount of AUM, because that would lead to, you know, a delay in the ROE which we are expecting because of higher OPEX, something like that? Can you please correct me on my understanding?
Thanks, Manoj. So Manoj, it is not about really in terms of ROE, but in terms of, see, what we have realized that, you know, we have built a structure. Last year we could open 39 branches, you know, with two new states. Now 8 states have come up and we are entering 3 new states in this year. So there are something which are in control. So opening a branch, you know, given our experience, if now we feel something is in control, so we can definitely increase on the AUM front. ROE, yes, it improves, but you cannot control, you know, 100% of it because there are external factors also. So I would not say that it is because of, you know, aspiration to have a higher ROE. In fact, with a larger expansion in terms of percentage, that gives a restriction on ROE. Because you have, you know, just to take an example, last year we opened 39 branches, but out of 730 crore of AUM which we have, less than 15% is contributed by those 39 branches which we opened last year. So what we realize is that this upfronting of expenditure in terms of opening of branches pays you over a period of time. So maybe you can miss the ROE target, you know, by few months or few quarters. But from a longer term perspective, it gives you a significant growth.
So despite going more towards secured right now, the pace at which we will grow our branches, would that be the same way or will that reduce? Because I think it's secured and the same amount of customers as we have in unsecured, we can target more amount of AUM per branch. So,
which is possible, but then, you know, at this stage, we feel that, you know, as we are planning about 50 to 70 branches, 75 branches this year, we believe that we can ramp it up, 200 branches per year on a very comfortable basis with more than 10 states this year, 11 in fact. Opening up just, if you open just 10 branches in each state every year, we are doing 100 branches. So this seems, you know, very much doable and possible. So that will be the agenda. If, you know, more growth comes in because of secured, it's even better.
Okay, just an accounting question I had is, I think our taxation has been very less this quarter. So is that our losses for previous financial years are still offsetting, and going forward, you know, by when can this tax normalize and by when will we have this deferred, some clarity there?
So FY26, the tax will 100% normalize. This will be the last year where we will have tax benefit because of our accumulated losses. So H1 could be the possibly the end, depending on the results, but frankly speaking, FY25 will be the last year of, you know, tax benefits which we can accrue.
Okay, thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. What is the average tenure of your unsecured loans and of secured loans? Because, given your disbursement, I saw that the AUM increase is not commensurate. So is it a very short-term loan?
Average door-to-door tenure for unsecured loan is 28 months. And for the secured loans, it's about 5 years. So, you know, to answer your question in terms of... You know, even when you do a 28-month door-to-door, you have the average period is just 14 months. And then what will happen to Sharp, you know, in the middle after, say, 9, 10 months, 12 months, you have a top-up. So the earlier loan closes and you have a top-up. So that is one issue, or, you know, that is one part of business when you do unsecured lending. As we increase our AUM towards secured, that earlier previous year team will be more and more helpful. So you will see that, you know, in all the cases where you have unsecured 2 to 3 year kind of funding, largely the AUM is very, very similar to the last year. And disbursement is similar to your AUM. So which, you know, improves as you have, you know, higher tenure of 5 to 6 year kind of loan book.
So you will see some changes, but it will be a slower ramp up. Last year, we just had 5% from secured. It is just this year, especially the H2, where, you know, we built our secured loan portfolio.
Okay. And what is the average size of the loan in unsecured?
In unsecured, it's 1.6 lakhs.
1.6 lakhs. So each loan, if you say your expense is around 11-12%, it costs you 16-18,000 to get the loan. Is that right?
You can say that over a period of time.
Okay. Do you securitize any of your AUM in terms of, direct assignment?
We do. Starting this year, we have done it. We have just started a little bit of it. So maybe around 6-7% of our disbursement.
Okay. So if you can include that information in the presentation, it will be helpful.
Although it's there in the results, but
And what is part of what would be your 5-year target in terms of AUM or balance sheet size?
5-year target, should I give you? We are targeting about 7,500 crores. I mean, this is a part of positions which we make. But that's the plan. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Is it better now?
Yes, sir. We'll take the next question from the line of Abhishek Jain from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So I want to understand what we envisage 3 years down the line, what kind of book, what kind of product we'll be selling, if you can throw some light on the segment. And also you can throw some light on how the cattle loan industry is in India at this point of time.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you, Abhishek. So, Abhishek, in terms of next 3 years, we want the AUM to reach around 4,000 crores. And by that time, definitely majority, but maybe 2/3 of our portfolio will look like secured. Every year you will see in last 5 years, initially, we were doing only relatively a smaller ticket unsecured loan, about 1 to 1.5 lakh. Then slowly this average loan ticket size increased with, repeat customers coming in. And then we introduced secured loan portfolio. Then now we have started, so as I said, that out of the 100 branches, last 28 branches which we started are only doing secured business. So as we grow in the business, some product mix, these things change over a period of time. So we will have new product introductions, when we are able to, reach relatively lower, still lower, cost of borrowing level. So that's one part. In terms of, so one I would like to mention is that cattle is definitely a very, very significant part of our portfolio, and this will remain a significant part of the portfolio. Having said that, what we say is that for us, the market today is about, 1 to 10 lakh kind of unsecured and secured business loans, wherein you see that overall market size is about 22 trillion, and out of which only 4 trillion is covered. So, as per the CRISIL study, so that means we are sitting on a 18 trillion, 18 trillion kind of gap in that, in that segment. Coming back to the dairy segment, I see the market size is very large. It's about 15 lakh crore, 15 trillion, is the market size. And I say that even if 1/3 of it, is just the our kind of, dairy farmers which are growing, we are still sitting on 5 trillion kind of market. So per se, in terms of addressable market, we believe that it's too large to be even worried about.
it's a very, very large market. You know, almost 6% of our GDP is a dairy industry. And, you know, in rural segment, this is one of the major contributors to the farmer income, you know, even for a rural population, whether in terms of consumption and production. You know, milk is something which is very, very important for, you know, rural people and farmers for sure. Otherwise, you have, you know, almost 75 million, you know, milching cattle today. So even, you know, when I did that kind of market, I will reach that segment to be, you know, about $5 trillion, you know, 5 trillion, I mean 5 lakh crore kind of market. We feel there is a lot which can be done, you know, especially with our kind of services, as we have said earlier in the past, that we have this vet thing, you know, which is complementary vet services for our clients. We have agroforestry initiatives. There are new initiatives which are coming up very, very soon. So there's a lot, very, very large market to be served upon.
Okay.
I hope that answers.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Sir, one more question I would like to ask is what are the risk management practices, what we are doing? So how we been maintaining our so much asset quality has been relatively much strong right now. The credit cost is close to 2.5%, right? Now collection efficiency ratio is one of the best in the industry. What we are doing, sir, if you can throw some light.
Yeah. So credit cost today is even higher, even lower. I mean, never actually reached, I mean, in these days, except for COVID, reached, you know, over 2%. So credit cost is even more reasonable. But, you know, having said that, I think it is the overall process mainly about the credit underwriting. So I think we have done a very, very deep study of all the segments where we operate. So one is that it's a limited menu kind of thing wherein, you know, we largely focus on essentials, dairy, kirana, and other. The contribution.
Hello.
And
sorry, sir, your audio broke. Can you just repeat your last line, please?
Okay, I'm saying that you know, we are largely focused on essentials. So which is dairy and kirana, which is about 75% in the food, which is essential segment. And again, the other retailers also are the, you know, clothing, chemist. So this is more of a daily routine. So one is that even, you know, in the circumstances like COVID, you know, essentials are always required. And, you know, these are not impacted by cyclicality or mostly even the seasonality. So seasonality is to some extent it is there in terms of, you know, lending, but in terms of usage, you know these essential segments work really well from a lender perspective. And secondly is that, you know, we have, because of the deep industry knowledge which we have worked out in a way that, you know, we are broadly very conservative when we lend. And then there are processes, you know, which help us, you know, maintain the, you know, whether in terms of incentives for employees which are linked to collection. So there are many small steps, you know, whether in terms of incentive or punitive action if you don't get the collection right. So overall, there are multiple steps, you know, the policies like we lend only when there is a self-occupied residential house. We don't lend to migrants. We lend only when there is a permanent structure for a business, whether it is in cattle or in a shop. So there are multiple such, you know, there are multiple co-borrowers, co-applicants on the loan. So there are multiple things which are attached to overall underwriting, which ensures, whether in terms of visits, seeing the house, the quality, to the credit underwriting, which ensures.
I'm sorry, so.
No problem. Yeah, is it better now?
Yes, sir.
So I'm saying that in terms of credit underwriting, there are a lot of steps which we take, which ensures that, you know, money comes back.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the clarification.
Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you. Participants, you may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Rohan from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, carrying forward from the previous discussion, just wanted to understand, sir, what is our collection model?
So largely the collection is only by the employees. We don't generally hire a separate collection team. We don't have the concept of separate collection team. The LRO who has given the loan is responsible for the collection. But obviously, you know, at certain stage, if somehow they are not able to collect, you know, after EMI bounce, you know, there's a calling team for reminders on a continuous basis. And at a certain stage, you know, after, you know, 60 days, there is a warning letter. On a 90 day, there is a legal notice which is served. So, and then our legal action also. So there are, this is done through multiple initiatives, and, you know, collection, especially on the calling side, you know, at least as of now, we have been able to ensure this level of quality with the current steps. But if the need is required, we'll do more, you know, we'll take more efforts in terms of collection as and when needed.
Sure. And this is on a monthly collection model or a weekly, fortnightly?
There is no group structure. It's all in individual loans, and it's a monthly collection.
So is it a cash-based collection or it's directly debit from the accounts?
It's a NASH based. So there earlier, like 6 months back, still on bouncing, we were collecting like 40% of the amount in cash. Now, which is down to 25%. So now we are taking a lot of payments from BBPS and also through our app. So the cash collection is down to about 25%. Our aim is to reduce, you know, bring it down to 10% over medium term.
So if I understand it correctly, when the loan is disbursed, we set up a NASH collection, so which hits the account on a specified date. And if that NASH bounces, then it's a UPI / cash based collection that happens through the app or otherwise. So just want to understand on the bounce rates on the NASH, what would that be currently for us?
So for every 100 rupees, almost 10 rupees is collecting before the NASH. So, you know, customer will pay up in cash, mostly in cash. So for the balance 90 rupees, which is chargeable, we have about 25% kind of bounce rate.
25%, okay, sure. And sir, in terms of the customer profile, because the ticket size is at which we are lending, see, many MFIs also do this individual loans in the similar ticket sizes. So is there any difference in the customer profile vis-a-vis MFI companies, or how should one look at it?
There's a very significant difference because, you know, MFI, whatever segment you pick up, so if it's a cattle segment, with MFI, you can borrow a loan with, you know, 2 cattle. For us, it is minimum 5 cattle. So the business might be the same, but the profile of customer is very significantly different. So these are, you know, relatively better off borrowers in a rural segment if we do. Similarly, if we do Kirana, in MFI, you can have a 30,000 or, you know, 25,000 kind of ticket, which is not a permanent structure, which is for us, all the retailers, traders, you know, they have a permanent shop, which is reasonably of a large size. So while in MFI, you may have people which will largely have less than 3 lakh annual income. For us, every customer has to be more than 3 lakh kind of average month. So average annual income. So there is a difference in terms of profile, definitely.
Got it, sir. Got it. And sir, lastly, when in an earlier question you indicated that we have started doing securitization this year, but when I compare the AUM vis-a-vis the on the exchange filing, the loan amount which is there, there's almost 100 crores of difference on the book AUM vis-a-vis the loans which is disclosed in the balance sheet. So just want to understand that difference, and this year also there's a difference of around 200 crores.
No, I think the difference is even more. Difference is about, you know, 200 crore plus. So which is,
yeah,
because
is,
you know, more than 200 crores. So because we have co-lending lines, which is from Vibhuti. So you have 86 crore from Vibhuti co-lending, 36 crore from Mass. So these are our co-lending partners. And we also do BC business, which is a managed book, which is 83 crores as on March. So this makes us about 205 crores and balances some amount of DA. But as we said that we have about 35 crore per month of co-lending and BC lines from our partners. So that reflects the difference between the book which is shown on the balance sheet versus the AUM which we are talking.
Sure, sir. Thanks.
Thank you.
You may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Arora, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the good set of numbers. So I just wanted to know that how many lenders do you have currently and who would be the biggest lender amongst them?
Today we have 32 lenders and per se out of non-banking lenders, Vibhuti Capital is the largest lender. So Vibhuti Group, I would say Vibhuti along with Vibhuti Asset Management has on-balance sheet exposure of about 120 crores. And plus 86 crore exposure in co-lending. So almost 200 crore within the Vibhuti itself, with the Vibhuti Capital also, having about, almost 125 to 130 crore kind of exposure. Within banks, multiple banks are at very similar levels. So whether it is State Bank of India, AU Small Finance Bank, the Manviya, all are at, 30 crore line. So there are some, sanction letters which we have got. So what we are looking at largely for this year, we see most of our existing bank lender will be able to disburse anywhere between 30 to 50 crores in money. So by end of March next year, most of the banks should be around 40, 50 crores, kind of outstanding.
Okay, sir. That was quite insightful. So, also, I just want to know if you're having any plans to expand in the southern region and if there are any potential challenges that we might face during the expansion.
So, there is definitely a plan. So, this year, we plan to enter three new states, which is Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, and Telangana, and maybe Andhra Pradesh also. But three new states of South India we will enter. We have started hiring as well. The challenges are there in every location. So there is competition. There are well-established, large players in the market. But I think the market is large and there is business for everyone.
Okay. And so one last question that what are the company's plan to, to raise the 150 crore equity in the coming financial year? And if you can throw some light that where does the company plan to utilize this fund? And will this equity fundraise help in the, how will it help in the company's growth?
So now we are, post the results, I think one of the biggest work we have is to do the equity raise. So we will try to close it as soon as possible. So that's one thing. In terms of, equity and debt have to go hand in hand. So if we say, we have to reach about, say, 1400 crore kind of AUM, we have to double from here, you definitely need equity. So if we want to raise 600 crore of new debt, we would need 150 crore of equity capital there to support that debt. So it's largely AUM expansion, which is the need for funds.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much for the information and all the best for future.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mihir Shah from Riddhi Enterprises. Please go ahead.
The question was that, our portfolio, even though we have gone through COVID, our portfolio might slightly be unseasoned. like even, or you know, some erratic rains had some adverse effect on our portfolio. So like even with that, like why are we, you know, eager to expand so quickly at the cost of profitability? Like, is it not a risk if like things go south, maybe say 1% or 2% NPA increases, then it'll like be a double or triple of the current NPAs that we are having?
No, I think what we have to see is, one is that, see, when you say about seasoning of the portfolio, that will never happen here. If you are doing unsecured loan, which where the tenure itself is about, you know, 24 to 28 months. So what you have to see is that 5 years in the business, we have customers who are in their fourth cycle in the unsecured loan segment. So you have to see it from that perspective, that seasoning is happening in that way. And secondly, I think.
So you may go ahead now. There was a follow-up.
Okay. Now the other point you said is, see, what we have to see that we have faced extreme scenario of COVID-1, COVID-2, then Lassi skin disease, then we have this, you know, rain issue last year. Across all these times, what we have seen, in even the worst scenario, we have seen 2.7% kind of, you know, credit cost. And that's about it. So now we have, you know, let's assume that 2 to 3% is the credit cost which we'll see in unsecured loan, and about 1.5% over a longer term. Today that's not the situation, but I'm saying over a longer term, that's the kind of credit cost, you know, which we foresee. That is well under the, you know, acceptable norms based on the yield which we get. So there is no point that, you know, we need to wait. So when expansion is possible, I think, you know, at this stage we should expand when there's a market. So I mean, a bit sell, and profitability is only improving. You see the 5-year trend. The OPEX is continuously declining. That's the only way. Once you have a higher AUM, only then you can, you know, really reduce your fixed cost. I mean, see, the staff expenses, the IT expenses, compliance expenses, everything is largely fixed. So the only way to reduce the OPEX is you have a higher base. So I think that's the strategy we are following. Branch anyway, you know, you will realize that, you know, even over a short period of time, it may get some decline in numbers, but then overall, you know, see, because every time it happens in NBFC business, your OPEX is actually your CAPEX. So all cost of generating business are upfront. And, you know, you get the interest income and the PF income over the next 2 years, or, you know, through the tenor of the loan, which is there. So I think once you accept that fact, growing when you have successfully realized that, you know, this model is working, I think there is no harm. I hope this answers your question.
Yes, thank you so much. And before I move on to my last question, I just wanted to, you know, join Sahil's request in asking that if you could please add the 30 and 60-day DPD numbers to the presentation.
Oh, sure, we'll do that.
Yeah, and my last question was that, like, could you once please share the branch-level unit economics, please?
Branch-level unit economics?
Yeah.
So you have to broadly understand, you know, from a perspective that, you know, branch-level unit economics would be very similar to business-level unit economics. So, you know, you have a 30% yield today, and the cost of borrowing, which, you know, which is there with 16% spread, and generally the working is that each branch on a monthly basis to start with does an expense of about 2.5 lakhs. So you know, broadly at 2 crore kind of number, because you make about 16% you know, interest spread. And, you know, make it 2% of credit cost, so 14%. So for every 1 lakh rupee loan, you will make 14,000 over a period of time. So generally, if you calculate the number on a 2 crore kind of AUM, we are able to break even to start with. And obviously then, you know, OPEX also increases over a period of time. But if you do the math there, it takes approximately 6 months for a branch to break even. Reach to a 2 to 2.5 crore kind of AUM and, you know, break even. On a accrual basis, if you realize that, you know, each month you are making some profit because the income is all postponed over a 2 to 5 year period. You don't see the number, but overall, 6 months you are able to break even. That's what we have seen. I hope that answers. On a call, we can't run the numbers particularly, but you can have a separate discussion there.
Sure, no problem. All right, thank you.
Right.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, may we request all the participants to please restrict your follow-up questions to one or two. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sahil Sharma from Columbus Finvest. Please go ahead.
Sir, my follow-up question was that if we consider our NPAs, let's say that something has turned into an NPA and we have taken a provision or a write-off against it. In this state, sir, we are pursuing, let's say, legal remedy or like we won't.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sharma, you're not audible.
And then basically, like, over time, like, the percentage of it might come back as a write-back.
Correct.
Hello?
Yeah.
Sir, should I repeat?
Yes, please. Sir, your voice broke, Mr. Sharma.
Yes, sir. Sir, what I was saying is that if we consider the process of, you know, once there is an NPA, there would be at some point a provision and a write-off. And after that, we will pursue legal remedy. And post that, there will be some recovery. And at that point, the recovery, there can be a write-back also. So what I was trying to understand is that roughly what has our experience been like post-NPA? Like what percentage of these loans are we able to recover basically?
Post-NPA. So Viral, you might like to contribute here, but generally what we have seen...
So what has been our experience is typically once we completely write off the loan, there is roughly around 10% of that write-off is something which is typically recovered and which is written back. So that has been our experience. But I'm just caveating this because of the fact that this is purely unsecured experience as of now. And as you know, there's no collateral in unsecured. Obviously, so the write-back is going to be much lesser. But as we transition to secured, obviously, I think the experience is going to change. What is our expectation on this?
And one another point here is that still today we have not filed a single legal litigation against any of our customers, and we have not used even collection agencies. So I think also there will be some improvement in the coming times as we are initiating those processes as well. But as Mayur said, that almost we said in, 80 lakhs. So almost 10% is what we have recovered in the last 6-7 months.
Thank you, sir. That's all for me. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. I just wanted to understand your expansion strategy because your AUM is small. So, you know, what are your thoughts on expanding within one or two states with intensive branch network rather than going into multiple states? You know, how do you think about that?
Yeah. Mayur, you want to take up?
Yeah, sure. So, Tushar, I think, we have been confronted with this question multiple times and during the course of our journey, from starting first year. See, our theory is very simple. I think, the segment that we are into, the real diversification and the risk mitigation comes from the distribution model. The more you are distributed across various geographies, I think one, both from an expansion and an AUM growth perspective, it helps us because it helps us understand the geography better, you know, the regional dynamics better, the growth prospects better, and also help us manage the risk in a better way. Just to give an example, let's say, you know, last year Punjab and Haryana faced some erratic rains and due to which, you know, some part of the portfolio was impacted. Imagine having 30-40% of our portfolio in that region and the whole book would have got impacted. Whilst, you know, because of the fact that we are present in more than 6, 7, 8 states now, you know, it helps us manage the book better. Also, the fact that, you know, we can grow in a reasonable manner in all the states. No state today contributes more than, I think the top state which contributes is Madhya Pradesh, which is roughly 30%, and the next is Rajasthan, which is 24%, and then everybody is roughly around 16%, 12%, that kind of a number. So I think, yes, it helps. It obviously adds to the cost of kind of setting up, you know, shop in those states. But what we have felt is it helps us manage the risk better because every area, because of the fact that every area has its own potential, you cannot grow a branch beyond a certain level in each district that we are present. And so it becomes very important to have a very strong distributed model in this space.
And also it's like seeding. I mean, you know, what will start next year will not yield any results, you know, in this year. I mean, which will start in this year will not really yield so much return this year. But, you know, it prepares you for next year.
No, thanks for your answer. But there are many companies, especially in housing finance and all, you know, who have grown by growing in adjacent states. So you could still divide your risk in 4 states rather than being in 1 state. But going to 10, 12 states such a small size is what I'm wondering, you know.
No, so everyone cannot have a same strategy. I think we are on the
opening. That's why I asked you, what are your thoughts on this? I understand you are doing business.
Yes, so that's what we said, that we believe that, you know, it's better to be more and more geographically diversified. And we have taken, somehow if you see, we have taken that kind of strategy only. So we started in Haryana, then it's all bordering states. Haryana, Rajasthan, you know, then Punjab, you know, then UP. With Gujarat, we have covered Chhattisgarh, with MP, we have covered Chhattisgarh, then Bihar. So these central and northern states covered, now we'll move to south. And, you know, it's not very aggressive, it's bit by bit. So it starts, you know, even if you see Gujarat and Bihar, we started with 5-6 branches only last year. Now we'll do, again, you know, maybe 10 branches again. Again, you know, we'll start with 5 branches in each state in south, and then we'll give them 6 months to show the performance, and then we'll move to, you know. But then you have to continuously seed, you know.
Okay.
You have to take a 5-year, 10-year kind of view.
Okay. Now, I just wanted your thoughts on this. So, because there are obviously different strategies and every company has their plan.
You can optimize more. Definitely, if you want to improve ROE, it's a good strategy to be relatively, you know, operate in the same location. So that definitely helps. But you know, you can have a different strategy in terms of, you know, your longer term perspective.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Thank you, Michelle. So it has been a good journey of last 5 years. We really, you know, thanks everyone of, you know, investors who have, you know, been with us, especially during the days when we were not really profitable. And we hope that we will continue to do the good work and, you know, create value for our stakeholders. And while also doing, you know, a lot of good in terms of, you know, our Beyond Lending initiatives, you know, financial inclusion and, you know, on the impact side. So I hope that, you know, we are able to do a good work here. And, you know, thanks for your wishes.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Moneybox Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.